Lord, we thank you for all your kindness, Lord. Your graciousness is overwhelming, Lord, and we're blessed and we're appreciative. And we thank you for the answer to prayer for Jeannie, Lord, and the what was that thing that's gone?
A lesion on my esophagus.
Yeah, the lesion is gone, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. And we pray for her, Lord, as she will be undergoing the surgery for her hand, Lord, and I just pray that that will go well. Oh, Lord, help give wisdom to the doctors, Lord, so that they don't add to the problem, but that they make it better and more serviceable and less painful for her, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we want to remember our pastors, Lord. We thank you for them. We pray that you would give grace to Bob, Lord, and healing to his leg.
Yes.
Strengthen him and speak to him while he's there, Lord. Let him be a blessing to those around about him, Lord. And may your work continue in him and what you're doing, Lord. And for Audrey, we pray a special blessing, Lord, that you would keep her as she cares for the needy. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just give her extra strength and extra blessing, Lord. Thank you for them both, Lord. And, oh, Lord, for all of us here, as we've gathered here tonight, to hear from you, Lord. I thank you. You have been faithful to us, Lord. We're very appreciative. And we want to recognize and acknowledge that too, Lord, that you have been meeting with us. You have been speaking to our hearts, Lord. And we are blessed. We are grateful. We're grateful. And so, Lord, we acknowledge that. We acknowledge your goodness to us and return thanks to you, Lord. We want to return thanks to you, Lord. We do bless your name. And we pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, as we search your word, that you give us wisdom and understanding. Impart to us, Lord. Impart to us. Unless you impart life to us, unless you, by your spirit, Lord, add life to us, Lord, reading the words and talking about these things are not going to change anything, Lord. It's only by your spirit. So we look to you, Jesus, that we might each be transformed tonight in hearing of your word, and that we might be filled, Lord, filled with your spirit, that we might not just be hearers, but doers, Lord. For it's in the doing of your word, Lord, that the transformation takes place. It's in the doing of your will, Lord. Thank you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't remember. Does anybody remember what verse it was that we left off of? I didn't think you did. Neither do I. But I think it's, we were in Beto Bum. We were in chapter 3, right? And we were talking about loving one another, right? Does anybody remember? Tuesday was a long time ago. First John, I hope. Yeah.
Sunday was Colossians.
Yeah, Sunday was Colossians. That's where we got that into our head. We're back with John, and we're in the third chapter.
Hmm?
I think we got down to 24? It was 20-something. Okay, so we're about ready to go into the fourth chapter. All right, here's the thing. You ready for this? Now, this is how this goes. Remember last week that I was talking, we were talking about loving our brother. Remember that? Okay. And I was up here telling people about how we felt love for the Filipino people when I first went there. Remember? We were saying that when we met together in the Arceo's house, even though I'd never seen these people before, I could just feel the love of God. Okay. And I was saying that I'm one of those people that just doesn't go around saying, oh, I love you, all that easy, right? You remember hearing me say that? You remember? The Lord did. So as I'm going away, I don't remember whether it was on the way back into the room or down the road in the car, but the Lord said to me, okay, Stan, who do you have the right not to love? Let's see. Love your enemies. All right, love your enemies. What is that? That's Matthew. What is that? That's Matthew. Where's Mike? Billy, Matthew something. Chapter 11, is it? It's around the Beatitudes. I'm not exactly sure, but he says some interesting things about your enemies. But that's not all he says. I mean, well, I want us to look at what he says about our enemies, okay? But that's not all. You love your enemies, you love your neighbor, love one another, love the brethren. God so loved the world.
Those who despitefully use you.
Chapter 5, 43? 43. Matthew 5:43. I began to think, who have I got the right not to love? Who have I got the right not to love, Tony? We reserve it like, you know, like it's... All right. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh. Pray for those who persecute you. Oh. Mercy. In order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? But even the tax gatherers do the same. In those days, the tax gatherers were the bottom. I mean, if you really were a lowlifer, you were a tax gatherer. Yep. And if you greet your brothers only, what do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's another one, too. I don't know if it's a parallel to that one, but it says bless them somewhere. It says bless those who despitefully use you. Mercy me. So I began to think about it. I have to love my enemies. I have to love the brethren. I have to love one another. That pretty well covers just about anybody, doesn't it? My neighbor. You know, what we like to do is, it says, love your neighbor. And everybody likes to go, okay, who's my neighbor? Because if he's not my neighbor, ha, 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 I don't have to love him. Who have we got the right not to love? Whoa, Tony, that puts a bee on us, doesn't it? Wow, I mean, we think we have the right to reserve our love for whatever. Now, God is...
Hey, Stan,
yeah.
How about Satan?
Oh. I'm talking in terms of people, yeah. I don't reckon we have to love or pray for Satan. You can hate him.
Huh?
You can hate him. And you can hate sin, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we'd be in trouble there, but and we can hate wickedness, but
and all the works of darkness.
But I don't know that we can hate people.
No.
Yes.
Well, so then we're like hating deeds as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The sinful deeds. Yes, and particularly our own. So anyway, I had to come back and tell you that I fall short, okay? Because as Sandy told me, because God was speaking to her too as she was leaving, God is love. God is the standard of love, okay? We go back to John, and I think it says that somewhere. God is the standard of love. It doesn't say that, does it? But he is. Yes, it doesn't necessarily say here. But I think it probably does somewhere in the book of John. It says that God is love. Are we back? No, we're not back yet in 1 John. 1 John 3. And so if God is love, and God's love is the... how do you say it, Tony? We say agape, but it isn't how you say it.
Agape.
Yeah, okay. Agape. He always has to. If we said it exactly right, he'd say it different, just because we don't know the difference anyway.
Just
to be spiteful. Yeah. Agape love. God is love, you see, and anything short of that is what we learned with hatred, isn't it? And so we have got to learn to love as God loves. And where's the verse that tells us no greater love is than this, that a man laid down his life for his brothers? Is that in here? Yes. It's in verse 16. Verse 16, Billy. And we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay? We talked a little bit about that last week, that our purpose. You see, one of the problems that we have while we're still messed up with our stuff is we're unable to love one another as properly. When we're still messed up, when we have problems with rejection, okay, when we feel rejected or not accepted of God, then we're somewhat consumed in the need to get that response, and in the sense that we are have that need in response, we are unable to give to others. Because we need to get for ourselves, see? So we need to get that straightened out with God. We need to get that straightened out with God. And God is doing that in these days. All right, let's start then in chapter 4. Here we go. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Okay? Now, how many of you have a sense of spirits? A few. Spirits. I didn't say good or evil. I just said spirits.
I do.
I would include the Holy Spirit. Okay, so some of us do, some of us do not. Okay? Spirits are all about us. And the spirits, I wouldn't go as far as to say they communicate necessarily, but they do. They do communicate. But there's an awareness of sometimes of spirits, and they're not necessarily communicating, but they're about us. And the thing is that it tells us not to believe every spirit. Here's the thing: when people prophesy, okay, all prophecy is of proclaiming what you hear in the spirit. Okay? Now the trouble is what are you hearing in the spirit? Because some people prophesy some people, when they prophesy, they say some of the things that God is saying, and yet there's some other things that God isn't necessarily saying. And they're just tuned into the spirit realm, and they're not always aware of the fact that there's a distinction between what the Father is saying. You see, Paul had a very keen sense of who he was hearing from. Remember in Corinthians he says, now I say to you, and then he stopped and he says, well, not I, but the Lord himself says to you. Now, why did he stop and say that? Because he had a real keen sense that this was actually the Lord's was saying something. So he was writing down what he was hearing the Lord say. But in another place, and he said, and I don't think it's the Lord saying this. I think it's me that's saying this. But I think I have the same agreement with the Holy Spirit when I say this. That's my paraphrase. Okay? So he had this distinction between what he thought the Lord was saying, what he thought the Holy Spirit was saying, and what he thought he was saying, and whether or not what he was saying was in agreement with these others. Okay? Now that's a fairly heightened sense in the spirit realm. Not everybody has that kind of maturity. Not everybody has that necessarily that gift to be able to sense that in the spirit realm. Some people sense some things, some people sense other things. Yeah, some people sense what people's spirits are saying and doing, okay? And then there are evil spirits, of course, and they can speak. And one of the ways, do you remember some time back, there was a book out about on demons and witchcraft, or Rebecca Brown, I think it was, mm-hmm. book. Mm-hmm. Remember that book?
Yes.
Okay. And it was about being set free from witchcraft and everything. And I never got a clear witness to that book. I never got a clear witness to that book, Tony. Because there were some things in the book that troubled me. And one of the things that troubled me was that they had to physically wrestle with disembodied spirits. Now, things that I don't find in the Bible, I have a hard time with. I figured if you had to wrestle with a disembodied spirit, Paul would have. I don't see anywhere in the book that Paul wrestled with a disembodied spirit.
Nor Jesus.
So I began to wonder. And the other thing that bothered me was that it seemed like that the witchcraft and the spiritual and all of that dark had an awful lot of power and authority, and God just seemed to be a little bit limp.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So we went to, they were going to be up in Murrieta, I think it was. And so we went, some of us from the church, we went to check this out. Guess what? They were a no-show. So Paul Dillinger was with us. He took over. Just worked out. It's cool. And what Paul was on Paul's heart was probably the same thing that I had noticed too. What was on his heart was to tell everybody, God's a big God. God's a big God. Okay? All this talk of blah, 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 and all this stuff, foo-foo. God's a big God. Get a bigger picture of God. Get a faith of God. Okay, so it turned out really interesting and neat. But all those little things added up to me that I just could not put my stamp of approval on that book. But it was widely accepted by a lot of people. I don't believe every spirit. There was another book about the same time where some angels came and talked to some guy and told him all kinds of interesting things. It was no less than Michael and Gabriel. Poor old Pastor Buck. I think he died of a heart attack or something. And the trouble is you've got to test the spirits. Okay? There's another book that you might recognize that I won't mention any names. Okay? He was given great end time revelations that a lot of people were accepting, and a lot of it seemed to be true. And anyway, in this quest that this guy was having in his visions, he was climbing up a mountain, and he came to this place that the name of this place was Unconditional Love. I thought, geez, you know, you'd think if there was a place called Unconditional Love, you would have found it in the Bible. But there's too many ifs in the Bible for me to believe in a place called Unconditional Love. So I had my hard times with it, okay? But then it went farther on in greater revelations, and finally it came to the heavenly hosts. And here there were all the heavenly hosts standing there together. And I'm going, yes, cool. And they said, and as you see, we have already received our glorified bodies. I said, wrong. That's a common thought, that when you die, you receive your heavenly body. It's a common thought. Most people think that when you die, you wake up in heaven and you have your heavenly body. And they haven't got a clue as what the resurrection's all about.
Exactly.
Well, if Jesus Christ was giving this revelation, Jesus needs to get his doctrine checked out. Or it wasn't the right revelation. That's as far as I got. I didn't get any farther. Don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits. The heavenly hosts who are standing around about us have not received their glorified bodies. No one will, except the scripture says, no one will until he comes. You got to watch it. Just because some angel comes and starts telling you cool stuff doesn't mean that they're the right thing. You've got to test, yes.
Will the Holy Spirit ever say anything that the Lord isn't saying?
Will the Holy Spirit ever say anything that the Lord isn't saying? No, I don't think so. But there's a difference between the Holy Spirit saying it and the Lord himself saying it too.
Okay, so in your example, the person just knows the difference. That's it. Not that they would,
that they would say different things.
Okay.
No, they will be saying, because the Holy Spirit takes everything that is God's and gives it to us. Everything that is the Lord's and gives it to us. But he is the Holy Spirit, not the Lord Jesus. At the same time, Jesus is the Lord Jesus and not the Father. I don't know that. I haven't heard any voices, okay? I've never heard any voices. Some people have heard voices. I've never heard any voices. But I've heard somebody talking to me. Now, I'm not sure whether it was the Father or the Son. I'm not that distinguished yet, Tony. I'm not. Okay? I'd love to think it was Pop, but, you know, what do I know? It's probably my big brother talking to me. All right?
But originally, didn't you feel something? Because like, I've heard something, too. And like, what? If you try to analyze it, maybe you don't know. But originally, didn't you feel something like you either thought it was God or...
Well, let's just say this. It doesn't matter which one of the three... The Father could have... It came from the Father's heart. I can tell you that much. I know that much. It came from the Father's heart. Whether he used the Word to speak it or whether he used the Holy Spirit to impress it on my heart, I don't know. But if it came from the Father...
Because Jesus wouldn't say anything else.
Contrary to the Father's heart. No, not at all. And the neat things that he said to me are pretty neat. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Okay? And why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. All right? Now, Antichrist, where does Antichrist come from? We had this little discussion last time, didn't we? Where did the Antichrist come from?
From the sea.
Came out from among us. Matter of fact, they left from us to show that they were not of us. Okay? Otherwise, we wouldn't know the difference. That's the Antichrist. Now we got prophets, false prophets in our midst, too.
Comes from the sea. Is that the beast?
Yeah. They both. One comes out of the sea. One comes out of the land. Yeah, but it comes.
Is that Antichrist?
I'm talking about First John.
Oh, okay.
Not Rev.
All right. No,
yeah. Yeah, it was back in. Where was it? We talked about Antichrist, spirit of Antichrist.
It came from among us.
It came from among us. It's First John. Yeah. Okay. Now we have false prophets. Now here's the thing. Watch out if you prophesy. You have to start somewhere. So don't be afraid to prophesy, okay? And just learn by it. Don't be afraid to prophesy, but don't expect that you're going to be like Isaiah when you start off. Okay? Because we prophesy the best we can. And do the best you can. Do it. Don't be afraid. Prophesy. And if you're afraid to prophesy in church, then get in your home groups and prophesy in your home groups. But prophesy. You know what I mean when I say prophesy? Tell other people what you think God is saying. Okay? You think God is saying something, tell them. Okay? And you just get out there. And I remember the first time Lisa ever did. She was supposed to give tongues. Oh, man. And how many times have you ever heard that if you don't have the interpretation, don't get up and speak in tongues, okay? But the Lord is telling her to get up and speak in tongues. And she's going, oh, man, because everybody always says, you've got to have the interpretation. You don't have that. No. Okay. So she's all nervous. So she goes, well, I believe the Lord is telling me that someone will have the interpretation. Well, I don't have the interpretation, but he told me I'm supposed to speak in tongues. So she gave a little word in tongues. But she went out and did it. And sure enough, guess what? Somebody had the interpretation. See? God is good. But that's the way you have to do it. Okay, so don't be afraid to prophesy. Speak when you think God is saying something. We're in a service and you have an impression that God is saying, if it's nothing more than God is pleased with us. Okay? But if you sense that God wants to tell us, I'm pleased with you, you know, then don't be afraid to say it. And for those of you who have never prophesied before, okay, then come to Audrey. And if she's not here, come to Lisa or myself and say, I think I have a word from the Lord. Okay? You look worried. You. There's nothing to be worried about.
Well, it is scary, I'll have to admit.
Well, it's like a first grader when he had to do his ABCs. You know, it was scary at first, I guess, but it shouldn't be. It should be wonderful. And just get out there and tell us what you think it is and we'll give you a go at it.
Okay, so then what if a part of the prophecy is in the flesh or it's not accurate? Is that okay?
That's fine. You're never going to... When you got on your bicycle, did you take off and do 90 miles an hour first time? No, you fell right off a few minutes later. Right? It's going to happen. We got to start somewhere. Okay? The only way you can do that is to get the help. People can help you and say, okay, that, you know, that was not too bad. You're maybe tuned in. Now, we don't do that because everybody's afraid of hurting one another's feelings, but it would be helpful if we did, if someone were to come along and say, you know, it sounded to me like you were tuned into the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, look, in the spirit realm, they got God. Remember, God's got his throne up there. He's sitting on his throne, and the rainbow's all around him. Okay, and all around him are these things that fly with wings, right? And they're making noises, and the host of heaven stand around him, and the 24 elders stand around him, and the devil comes up sometimes and makes accusations. There's all kinds of spiritual things going on in heaven. There's a lot of voices. A lot of voices, Tony. Which one are we listening to? And listen. In war, how many of you know anything about, have ever studied a little bit in history about war? The major, okay, a few of us. One of the things you try to do in war is you try to give information to the enemy that's false. Propaganda, we call it. Okay, you intentionally try to feed them the wrong information. Okay, so there's a lot of information. Believe me, God is very smart. He's not going to leak what he's up to. You and I would. He's probably not going to tell you and I what he's up to because he knows we blab it all over the place and he may not want it blabbed. So most likely, the major can tell you, most likely most of us in terms of what's going on are completely in the dark in a war. We know our assignment and not much more than that. Is that right? That's the way God does. We know our assignment and not much more than that. Because God keeps his counsel. Because their ears listening. So we have to learn in prophecy to tune ourselves to where we're hearing what God is saying. We want to hear what God is saying. What the Lord is pronouncing, okay? And that takes some doing. It takes some refining. It takes some maybe making some mistakes and learning, okay? But you can't do it if you don't start. How many of you ever have mastered something? Anything? Drywall? Growing plants? Sewing? Cooking? Making lasagna? Huh? Anybody here ever mastered something? Sure, all of us have mastered. Some of you, you've mastered your art of nursing, right? You make a living from it, right? That's right, that's good enough. You didn't get it right away, did you? It took time, didn't it? You had to develop that skill. You had to work with it. Have you made any mistakes?
A lot.
Truthful. Yes. And that's how prophets do too. Okay? You make mistakes. You'd love to think, oh, you got the Old Testament, man. If you say the wrong thing, you're going to get stoned. Okay? Just be willing to give what God gives you, and the elders will come along and help you. And if you're in the flesh, if we're wise, we'll know how to take you to the side and say, you know, you could have gone without saying that. If you're smart and you come to us and you tell us first and we think, we're likely to tell you, well, not right now, okay? And try to help nurture along, okay? Because this is how you get false prophets. They're hearing spirits, but they're not hearing the Spirit of God and they don't know the difference, okay? And how did Jesus learn to hear the Father's voice? He was raised on butter and honey. He didn't go taste every polluted word that was out there to find out. You know how they tell you, anybody here work in a bank? Connie, you work in a bank? You don't work in a bank. Anybody here work in a bank? You know how they tell you how to know good money from bad money? How? Deal with real money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You deal with real money. You deal with real money long enough, and after a while, when you get a counterfeit bill, you just instinctively notice there's some little difference because you're used to the real thing. Okay? Now, they tell you the things to look for, but the best way to know how to handle the false is to know precisely what the true is. And that's the best way to know how to hear the voice of God. Concentrate on hearing the voice of God. Tell him, I want to hear your voice. And tell him, I don't want to hear those other voices. People like me, Tony, I hear. I don't hear as good as some, but I hear. I hear lots. I have to keep asking the Lord, tune me in. I only want to say what you're saying. I don't want to say what my spirit's saying. I don't want to say what the general spirits are saying. That's why I don't listen to a lot of news. Because behind the news is spirits, saints. There are. And people are tuned into this stuff. We're newer to it. We don't notice. I don't watch TV. And then I turn on the TV and I see this car driving by without any driver in it. And it says, let the Spirit take you. And you watch that and you don't think a thing about it because you're watching TV all the time. But I look at it and I go, ah!
Let the Spirit take you.
One moment with us and you'll never be the same. They're not dumb. They're tapping straight into the occult to sell their cars, to sell whatever it is they're after. Okay? Spirits. They're talking all the time, Tony. And we're going along like when I was young, the philosophy of the church in the world was that there wasn't really much in the spirit realm. I mean, the missionaries had a hard time because they kept coming back and saying, you folks got to get tuned in. There really are demons. Because we were saying in the church, you know, it's all, we were all scientifically minded now. And we had outgrown spirits. We were like the Sadducees. There aren't really spirits and all that, blah, 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 blah. And then the missionaries would come back and go, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I've seen the, yeah, 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 yeah. So we're the this country is becoming, is being tuned in to the spirit realm in the wrong way, and we don't know it. And so spirit is behind the advertisement. Spirit is behind the government. Spirit is behind just about everything, the news media, it's all coming. Spirits are speaking loudly. We need to recognize that that's what's going on. Spirits, you notice the difference when you come here to this country from the Philippines? It has a different spirit, doesn't it? You feel the difference here, don't you? I feel the difference when I go to the Philippines. You feel the difference when you go to another country. If you're sensitive to spirit things, each country has a different spirit, has a different feel. You just feel it. Sometimes when you're flying in, you feel it as you're coming down in. You can feel the spirit of that land. You can feel the spirit. When we went from here to Houston, I noticed a different spirit in the city of Houston. It's a righteous spirit, oddly enough. It's a big city. It's a righteous spirit, the city of Houston. Don't know how long it'll last. The mayor of Houston came to our conference when we were there or the Four Square and preached. The mayor.
Excellent.
Excellent. And he preached well, Tony. He was a man of God. The mayor. The city had a spirit and I felt it. Okay? So there's spirits. Okay? By this you know the Spirit of God. Now, I tell you, when I know something, I know it. When I don't know something, I don't know it. Okay? So we've always been told every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. I have no idea what that means. Because if it were that simple, and I've seen people do that, they'll say, confess Jesus Christ. And so, look, the demons say, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So that must mean he's not a demon, right? Remember the little girl that's wandering around behind it? Oh, these men are men of God. They proclaim to you the way of salvation. Why did it take Paul a few days to figure that one out? Because it sounded good.
Legitimizing herself.
But it was the spirit of divination that was behind it. So I don't know what this means exactly. I think that obviously it has significance, but there's not that many people. I mean, even witches know that he came in the flesh, Tony.
I think it might be, because I've struggled with that, not so much, well, yeah, that too, because like you said, I mean, for demons' sake,
yeah,
basically the same thing. But I think it's like when you said, confess, Jesus the Lord or something, I think it's in Romans or one of the others, and you'll be saved and so forth. And I think the confession, like in the court of law, when you confess something, you're not just professing or saying something. You're confessing something that's happened to you, that you've seen, that you've dealt with, or something, your first-hand experience. So I think this confession might have to do with the fact that you're confessing, meaning that it was part of your life. It's something, a part of you, so you're confessing or doing a testimony, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it has more substance
Right. than it has come in the flesh. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. So what I would suggest we do is pray that God will give us wisdom what it means. Because it's going to be important, because the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. And the spirit of Antichrist is gaining momentum. It's gaining strength. The spirit of Antichrist is speaking now, Tony, in the public arena. Okay? And we've got to learn to distinguish when we hear and we think, oh, but this is a Christian president. I may not be referring to the current one. I may be referring to a past president who was Christian. But that Christian president wanted Israel to give up some land. Well, I think that's what Antichrist wants. But I thought he was a Christian president. But I think he had a road plan that would have ruined Israel. And I think the voice he was using was the voice of Antichrist. And he didn't know it. Yeah, bro. He's gonna
level the Antichrist. keep it.
What you're talking about, where other people are speaking and where the judgment of other people speak, I kind of like that idea, because in verse 1, the second line there, it says, they're talking about spirits, but I think it's what he's saying is that the spirit that you hear coming from people, because they're saying many false prophets.
Yes.
And we tend to think of Revelation when we hear of the false prophet, but he's simply saying there's people that are going out and naming the name of Christianity. They're false prophets, and you can tell by the spirit of which they speak. And then, verse 2, I've never heard of a spirit in verse 3, like you say that Jesus Christ is from the flesh. But you will hear some people come and say, this Jesus never came. So I think the context is that he's talking about the spirit that you hear people say.
Mm-hmm. And I would have to agree with that, Bill, that is probably what he's talking about, because of the fact that there are false prophets. The dilemma that we have is that the false prophets are in the church. The false prophets are in the church. And we have, and by virtue of the internet and all of that sort of thing, it's very easy now to be connected up with all kinds of people with prophecy. There's a lot of people that claim to be prophets. They claim to be prophets, okay? And so test them, okay? That much I know for sure. Test them and see where they're coming from, and pray. And don't just believe every spirit you hear. Don't be, just because they're on the 700 Club or something else like that, don't be duped into thinking that necessarily makes it true. Okay? And just because somebody says something here, if I get up and say there's a tsunami of evil coming, you test that spirit. You take it before the Lord, take it before other elders, and if there's no agreement, yeah, if you feel led to, you can come tell me, I think you're off base, Stan. You do well not to get carried away. or you just go, well, we're just going to put this in over here for now. Okay? Set it. We'll take that and set it over here for a while, and we'll go on with life, and we'll see if it bears a, what kind of fruit does it bear. You know, because there are a few people that I believe in. I believe in our pastor as a prophet. I've been with him too long. He's been too accurate. And I've only disagreed with him a few times, and every time I always turn out wrong. So, and Dave Wilkerson's another. When Dave Wilkerson says he thinks he sees something, I think he sees something. Yes. Now, here's the problem with waiting till it comes to pass, Benny. It's like corn. And Bill can tell you in corn in Iowa, if you wait till the ears don't develop on the corn stalk, it's too late to start a new crop. Right, Bill? In Iowa, you only get one season. And you got to make up your mind when you put the seed in the ground. Now, so that's just a thought. I realize you're right. It's when they, it's a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So that's how you tell the trees.
But at the same time, you should be aware of what has been processed.
Yes, yes, yes. Be aware. And usually when you have somebody like Dave Wilkerson or a pastor or something, they give prophecies that are shorter term so that you get a chance to see a history of their accuracy. So when the big ones come, you can rely on the fact that they're reliable. All right, did we... how are we doing with this? The spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming... And now, which was back when?
2,000 years ago.
Quite a few years ago. And now is already in the world. So this spirit of Antichrist has been in the world all along. It's building momentum. It is becoming more prevalent in the earth. And God is allowing that. Okay, don't get confused. God is allowing that. Okay? It must come to pass. And but God has his own purposes, and whether or not there will, pastor has said there's going to be a great outpouring. A lot of prophets are saying there's going to be a great outpouring in the midst of a lot of trouble. A lot of prophets are saying that. That's another thing too. Usually when it's true, there'll be more than one person will be saying the same thing. But just don't go by numbers necessarily, because usually the vast majority of the prophets are wrong. Just like in the early days, yeah. It's not easy, this business. It's not easy. I can say that much. It's not easy at all. And the Lord wants us to be testing things that people say, testing stuff that's coming forth. All right? You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Who? Overcome who's them? Spirits, yes. In particular, what kind of spirits? No, the word evil I don't think is mentioned once in this chapter.
No. Antichrist.
Antichrist and? False prophets. Okay? Because false prophecy, and then this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Okay? So you, little children, have overcome them. Wow. Past tense.
Yeah.
Why is it that he can say that? Why can he say we have overcome them past tense?
I know why.
Why, Tony?
Because we are from God.
Because we are from God. And second part of the verse explains it. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. See, the spirit of truth is in us. That's why it's so important that we understand the Holy Spirit, that we be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we allow the fellowship of the Spirit so that we become attuned to the things of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of truth within us that leads us into all truth. Now, this is a difficult thing. It's a spiritual thing, Tony. It makes it, it's not an intellectual thing.
Wow.
What? Okay, what is it, Tony?
No, nothing.
I'm just looking at my head up, you
know. Oh, okay, you're down to the next one. Oh, okay. Uh-huh, okay. For they are from the world. Who's they?
The spirits.
Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Okay, and that's what's going to happen. Don't do as Josiah. Remember, what was Josiah's big mistake? Remember good King Josiah? He was a good king. He was one of the best kings Judah ever had. And he not only cleaned everything up in Israel, in Judah, but he went out into Israel. Remember, they had been divided?
And he tore down
all the stuff down. And this guy really had everybody doing what was right. They made a covenant with God. What was his big mistake? What was the dumb thing he did? He didn't have to, but he did it, and it brought his downfall. He went and fought with Pharaoh Necho.
Yeah, when Pharaoh was...
And Pharaoh said, why are you bothering me? God has sent me to fight against the king of Babylon. Who is the real threat? Babylon. Josiah didn't know that. Babylon. This has some implications, okay? Look at this. Josiah represents us, last time people. I don't know how to spell Josiah. I-A-H? Okay. He stands for these end time overcomers, we'll call them. Okay? You have overcome them. Okay. Now Pharaoh, I don't know how to spell Pharaoh. Egypt represents the world, right? Okay. And Babylon, I don't know how to spell Babylon either. I don't know how. Huh? B-A-B-Y, what?
L-O-N.
L-O-N, that's what I had. Okay, Babylon, what does that represent?
Religion.
Oh, be a little more to the point. Yeah. The whore.
Oh, yeah, mixed
woman.
The woman.
Right.
The woman rides the beast. You see, Jesus is not upset with Buddhists.
No, I know that.
They're not supposed to be his wife. He's upset with the church. He's riding on the back of the beast.
That's right.
Because she's made a whore out of herself. Because she loves the world. And she's listening to the false prophet and not to the Holy Spirit. She's following the Antichrist instead of the head. She's got a plan. And she's trafficking in the souls of men. Making herself rich. Okay? The real enemy. I don't know how to spell whore either.
Prostitute.
She's selling herself, yes. Josiah went out and fought with Pharaoh. That's not how he spelled Pharaoh, but anyway.
R-A-P-H-A-R-A-A-O-H.
Pharaoh, there he is. Huh? Oh, brother. Thank you. Josiah, yes. Okay. Here's the lesson to learn from this. The real enemy are the religious Christians.
You better believe it.
Not the world.
Yeah.
Now, when we say not the world, God loves the world. The world system. Okay, Pharaoh represents the world system, but listen, the world will respect a true Christian.
Babylon kills him.
Babylon will kill him. But the world will respect a true Christian. That's right. One who really stands out. Mother Teresa died, and the news commentators had nothing but good to say about that woman. No religious funny stuff. Because our works stood out for the world to see. And they had nothing but respect for her. Okay? But the religious Christian church will kill the prophet every time she can. True prophet. You try and really serve God, and you'll have people lining up at your door telling you you don't need to. You're going overboard. You're with this, you're that, you're a Pharisee, whatever. Anything. Just don't do it. Don't really live the life. Let your hair down a little bit, remember?
Yeah.
Let your hair down a little bit once in a while. Okay? And so the Josiah did wonderful things. He tore down the altars. He did all the things God wants, and he consecrated himself and everybody to him. But then he made the mistake of thinking that the world was his enemy and went out and fought with the world when the true enemy was Babylon. And he died early. Didn't have to. So don't make the mistake. Don't make that mistake. The world's not our enemy. The spirit of the world, which speaks through Antichrist and the false prophet, is. But it manifests itself far more in Babylon than it does in the world. The world will respect a true Christian. Yes, sir.
Revelation 13, he talks about the false prophet is the one that actually causes people to worship the beast.
Yes.
So, I mean,
that blows me
doubly
away.
Dangerous.
It blows me away. One of these days, it's the religious right wing, whatever, are going to join together and support the spirit of Antichrist. Yeah. Well, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. This has... I won't go any farther than this tonight. When God gives you something to say, this is how I've always operated, all right? I don't know if necessarily this is right or wrong, but this is always how I've operated. And when God gives you something to say, I don't force what I have to say on anybody. People can take it or people can leave it. Because I believe this. He who knows God listens to us. If I've heard from God, I'll know those people that God has his hand on because they'll hear it. And it's interesting because there are some that hear it that others don't think would. And others who think you would think that would be hearing who don't. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It could have to do with timing because there are timings in God. There are times when we're too young and immature, too full of ourselves to hear God very well yet. I know because I was there a long time. Okay. So, but it is interesting that because what John was saying is we are from God. What John is saying is I can tell you who God has his hand on. That's what John's saying. I can tell you who God has his hand on because they listen to what I say. Isn't that interesting? Because there were a lot of voices in John's day. And the people who... There were a lot of people following. Remember, there were false prophets in those days. There were false apostles in those days. Okay? Who Paul said, whose God was their belly. Was that Paul who said that, or was that Jude who said that? Paul, yeah, I thought so. Paul, I think it was Paul who said, whose God is their belly. And they're enemies of the cross. Enemies. And they went about proclaiming themselves to be apostles. Okay? And John is saying, you can tell. You can tell because they listen to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, that, friends, is confidence. John was confident that he was hearing from God and that the spirit of truth was in him. Not because he was anything special, but because God had given him the spirit of truth. God has given us the spirit of truth, and we know it. And like I said, I don't know anything, Hal, except what I know, what God has told me. I know that. And that doesn't shake. There are not that many things, but the things that God has told me, I know those things. They're so. And people who don't choose to see it my way, it doesn't bother me. I don't make issue with them. But I know what God said to me. And I know it's true. And so did John. All right, let's pray. Lord, I can tell just by the tenor of the atmosphere that this issue of truth and error is an important one. And Lord, I spoke Sunday about the necessity of remaining in high places with you. And boy, I'll tell you, Lord, I was tested these last couple of days. Tested. It was difficult, Lord, to live the word that I spoke. Because there was a lot wanted to bring me down, Lord, just a lot of issues. And they didn't seem to yield to prayer either. It just was tough. But you saw me through, Lord. You saw the circumstances through, and you're good. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, there are things we need to learn here from John. I just sense it, Lord. I also sense that we don't necessarily yet have a complete handle on it either. Now, I thank you, Lord, for this group of saints right here tonight, Lord, and the ones who listen, because I know there are ones who follow with us and follow intently. And we all need to know what John is telling us, Lord. We need to know what you're saying through your servant John, through your Holy Spirit, through the Word. We need to know, Lord, because the spirit of truth and the spirit of error are contesting with one another in our day right now as we speak. Not just here in this church, but in our homes, in our places of government, in the whole earth, Lord. I think right now of how our president is dealing with the Palestinians and the Israelis, Lord, to try to establish a, quote, peace. And Lord, we need to hear what the spirit of truth is saying and what the spirit of error is saying. As all of our assumptions and all of our whatever is meaningless, we need to hear what you're saying. We need to know, Lord, in these issues, in these days. And the only way we can know, Lord, is to hear from you. So, Lord, give us humble hearts. I thank you for each one of us, Lord. I thank you for each one that participates, Lord. I thank you for all the input as I sense, Lord, hearts that are working and are striving and are wrestling and are seeking and are looking to find truth and to find what you are saying and to, so that we might come to know you, Lord. That's our purpose. That's our purpose, Lord. And so we pray, help us, Lord, as a group, as a church. Help us, Lord, as your saints in these days that are tense, Lord, tense with the spirit of error and the spirit of falsehood and the spirit of truth, the spirit of God contesting one another, so we would know how to stand, Lord, so we'd know how to hear your voice in the midst of all the voices that speak, Lord. So many voices, so many of them proclaiming to be God and speaking for you, and many simply are not, are false. I remember years ago, someone predicted, September 19th, I think it was, that Jesus was coming. Well, you didn't. Help us, Lord. Help us. And I thank you, Lord, with confidence, because your word says you have overcome, Lord, because you've already given us the spirit of truth. You have already given us the spirit of truth, Lord. And that which is born in us, Lord, is from you. As Tony said, Lord, it's from you. Has overcome. Now we pray, Lord, that will be true in each one of our lives on a daily basis and a moment-by-moment basis, Lord. in each circumstance that we face, Lord, whether it's at work at Kaiser or work in the China Lake or working wherever we may find ourselves, Lord, at the home, driving, grocery store, wherever, whatever circumstance that we would have your truth, Lord. We'd be living in your truth. Help us, Lord. We need to maintain that, Lord. We cannot get sloppy, even for a moment. We cannot let our hair down, so to speak, Lord, even for a moment. Even in our times of fellowship, even our times of fun, even our times of fun activities and things of that nature, Lord, we still have got to keep our guard. As the spirit of truth and the spirit of error are constantly speaking and constantly vying for our hearts and our minds. So I pray, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, Lord, your anointing over each one of us, Lord. Thank you for those, Lord, who have made the trouble and the effort to come here to assemble, Lord, to hear your word, to hear from you. Now I pray your blessing be upon each one, Lord. Your strength be given to each one, Lord, in the inner man. Your peace be given to each one, Lord. Supersedes all circumstances. Your peace, your healing power and touch for our lives, Lord. Especially Audrey. Bob, Lord. Touch them. Give them great strength, Lord, for these days to lead us. Thank you, Lord. Blessing in every way, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name.